entrusted.
With kind of leading a discussion this morning, to tell you a little bit about our journeys and our, you know, the way we came to emerge in our hearts and things like that. So we got together about a week and a half ago with Wade, and it was a almost therapeutic 3-hour session until about 10:30 at night at the Annex. I didn't even know why I was coming. Wade just said, "Hey, can you be here about 7:30 at night? Just wanted."
Because he knows Jay would have said no if he did.
Pretty much. And so let me take a quick minute and have Shane and Aaron introduce themselves and tell themselves a little bit about themselves.
Sure. So my name is Shane House. I came to Emerge about a little bit over a year ago. My wife Amanda is here sitting on the right side, and our son Evan is the back. So with the kids, if you've ever seen either of them, those are who claim me. But I am on the surf team. We set up a stage, set up all the chairs, and that's a little bit about me.
I'm Erin Smeltzer. I am married to Will Smeltzer. Right in the middle, doesn't like to have the focus on him, so everybody look at him, both smell him. I also have a daughter named Ellis and a son named Bennett, so they are mine rolling around. I kind of do a little bit of everything here, but I have an e-group leader, shout out, small group, boo-boo, I'm glad you're here. They're all in the front, so I don't get nervous, I can smile at them in case you're wondering who these people are. And so I do that, and then I also work in the kids with your amazing kids that are such a blessing to my life, so that's me.
And again, I'm Jay Cherry, my beautiful wife Jessica is out here in the audience. Our son Jacob is still on vacation, we came back yesterday. He is probably having breakfast in bed, being spoiled by his grandparents right now in the mountains, so he's up there enjoying that. I came to Emerge, and my initial connection was doing kid setup, and I was blessed to be given two of the most wonderful human beings on earth, and Keith and Connie Gibbs, to walk me through that process and see their smiling faces at 7 o'clock every Sunday morning for a long time. And then my role has evolved over time to do more things with the Dream Team and things like that. And I'm also the furniture setup for the small group that Aaron and Jessica have.
Yes, he is the small group setup,
yeah. I get the furniture rearranged so we can get 21 women in our living room, which is not very big. So glad to be here, and we're glad to, hopefully we'll be able to touch and bless you all with some of our words this morning. Let's go ahead and start out and talk a little bit about Aaron. How did you come to Emerge? How did you know? What was your journey that brought you to this place?
Sure. So I was actually staff at another church here in town, and a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful church. And in the midst of a lot of the transition, Wade just pastored me, just mentored me, loved on me. Made sure that I was still connecting with that leadership, and so I had a connection with Wade first, then Cynthia followed because their daughter was at my preschool that I was running at the church. And so when God called me away from that job and into another one, I remember as soon as I was off church staff, because Wade would never do that while I was on staff, he said, "Hey, are you staying?" And I said, "You know, I kind of just want to look around and see what's out there." And he said, "Come to church. I'm officially inviting you to church." And, you know, through some of the transition, there were a lot of things that just, you know, some of the things that got heavy on my heart about church. And I remember coming here for the first few months and thinking, why do they not have tissues in this church? Because for you, when you go to Emerge for the first few weeks, you have to cry for like the first 6 months. Can I see anybody out there? So I just remember thinking, why do they not have tissues here? And I remember telling Wade, "I'm going to come to your church, but if you keep preaching like this, I need you to invest in some tissue boxes at the end," which he never did, which is fine. I brought my own. So I would just say that it was through the conversations with Wade and him really seeing me in a moment where I needed to be pastored, and in the transition and the loss of the pastor that was doing it, he just really filled a gap in my life, and I love so many of you, so it was easy to come here and get connected.
Shane, how did you come to Emerge?
Yeah, so I've kind of been in and out of church my entire life, and about a year and a half ago, when I said when we started coming to Emerge, I was in a place where I wasn't close to God at all. And, you know, our family, you know, we weren't close to God. We had both, me and Amanda had grown up around the church, you know, in and out, but at the time we weren't. And we had gone through some things. You know, we had a miscarriage before Evan was born. And then we had Evan, and God bless us with Evan. And we were always just kind of searching for something. But I was at work one day, and my boss, her husband, found out that he had leukemia. And all the ladies in our office were passing around a prayer quilt. And you basically take a part of the quilt, and everybody writes a little word of encouragement on the prayer quilt, and then you give it to the family. And they were passing that around, and I remember the lady who was in charge of it, she came up to me, and she said, you know, I'm not really sure how you feel about church or God or prayer, but we're doing a prayer quilt, and we want to know if you want to write something on it for our coworker. And it struck me when that happened, that at work, I know that's not a place where God comes up a lot, or we don't really talk about God, but the fact that nobody at work knew I was a Christian, that I didn't show it outwardly, they didn't even know what I thought about prayer, really just kind of hit me really, really hard. And I knew that I was at a point in my life where that needed to change. You know, we had a son together, and if he didn't see that growing up, then what kind of influence was he going to have? So kind of simultaneously with that, I didn't realize it, but Jess and Thomas Wolf, I don't know if everybody out here knows, but they are my wife Amanda's, Jess is her sister, and so Thomas and Jess, they had been praying for us. Kind of at that same time, they had been knowing some of the things that we were going through, and one day Thomas just came up, and he's like, hey, I want you guys to go to church with us. You know, we go to this great church, and we just want you to come and check it out. I don't know why I'm telling you this right now, but I am. And if you know Thomas and you know Jess, they are two of the most heartfelt people that you could ever meet, the realest people. And I knew the moment he told me about Emerge that if it was a place for them, that was a place that we needed to be. And immediately coming in, I wasn't doing good that day. I had a really bad sinus headache, and the music was blaring, and it was unlike any church I'd ever been to. I grew up, you know, going to Southern Baptist whenever I went. So if you weren't sitting on your hands, then you were in trouble as a kid. So to come into a church, it was the first time they had a live band, and seeing all that, it was kind of a neat experience, and it kind of opened me up. And meeting Wade and seeing him coming off of the drum kit and coming up and speaking, it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, you know, this is a church that I can get involved in. And you know, then meeting some of the guys at church, I instantly got connected after coming and got on the setup team, and met an amazing guy, Matt Turk, and he kind of mentored me, and was a father that I never really had growing up. And you know, he had said that he'd been kind of praying for that. Nobody knew really what was on his heart at the time, but you know, he was contemplating moving down to Key West. And he just said, you know, I've been praying for somebody to come, and you know, that I could teach them the things that I've learned here, and that I could feel at peace, you know, going with my family to Key West. And so it was a combination of that, and then, you know, I just met so many great people here at Emerge, and it just seemed like all of the places that I was lacking, there was somebody here that could build me up in that area, whether it was through if I was having, you know, not praying or not reading the Bible. You know, there were guys there that were sending me texts every single day with a Bible verse, and that would help me read the Bible or let me know they were praying for me. And so just, I love Emerge now, and I'm here, and I don't think I could be anywhere else. And there's a ton of people that I could thank that are here, including the Wolves and every other guy and girl in here that have ever done anything for me since I've been.
He didn't mention, though, that I got him through the 6-hour car trip with a mean episode of car karaoke. It was epic. So that's how he met Aaron.
We weren't going to talk about this.
Yeah. He's got some dance moves, too, which is pretty cool. Good to know about Shane.
It was an interesting 6-hour ride to the park this year. We definitely got to know each other in many different ways. Ironically, in terms of my path to Emerge through my life, what's amazing to me today is these people. Part of it. I spent 20 years in church ministry here in town, working in an after school and summer day camp program. Shane was one of my kids. And
I was in elementary school.
So I'm really dating myself now.
And Jane was around 18 or 19.
Insert Justin, you're old. But what was so funny about it, seeing him walk in here, was Jessica's known ever since we walked around town. We'd be in the mall, at restaurants. There were all these kids, because we had 600 kids a year going through this place. And it was always, I told her, so I have my standard line. It's, hey, buddy. Hey, sweetie. Good to see you. But I knew his name, and I remembered him for a reason. And I'll get to that a little later. But it was a good reason. And it was a very good reason. And it's part of the reason that I'm still here at Emerge. And it's part of my growth here. And this young lady, I used to drop my six-month-old almost 9.5 years ago. Every morning, I would put my six-month-old's life into her hands. And she was like the most warm, smiling, loving person. And to be able to put my child in this person's hands every day and then go off to work was amazing. And it was at a time in my life where I was as far from God as I could have been. Spending 20 years in ministry, working after school, summer day camp programs. We were ministering to 600 kids a year, 700 kids, but I wasn't going to church on Sunday. I wasn't living what many of these kids thought of me. People would say, you need to go to church. I go to church 5 days a week. So I met Jessica, luckily, best thing that ever happened in my life. She didn't grow up going to church. So a pastor, one of my youth pastors, came back to town. And it was our link back to church. So we started going to church. Jessica started getting into church, and it was a wonderful experience. It felt so right, so good. And then it's kind of an Aaron experience that would change within the church. And there were experiences within the church that I got mad at God about things. I got mad about things that I was blaming on God. So when we left that church, I didn't say anything to Jessica. I was like, I'm done with church. I'm not going back. So as Jacob got older, Jessica really started kind of nudging out me, saying, it's time to go back to church. We need to find a church. So we would go to church after church, and she didn't know it, but in my mind and my heart, I didn't care. I was like, not doing it. So we would walk out, and she'd say, what do you think? I don't like it. No, we're not going here. And so one Sunday she came to Emerge when we were in the annex, but the old place off Capitol Circle. And she came home, and it was something different. She was like, this was awesome. She was like, this is the place. It was awesome. I really think you need to come. So my trip to Emerge, my first trip to Emerge, which was very reluctantly, to make her happy. Not my heart wasn't open to it, as I had been with everything else. So we went, and we got done, and we're, driving home, and I think it was pretty quiet in the car, and she said, so what do you think? And so I think I actually wasn't very kind. I think I start saying things like, no, they're too over the top, it's not real. I would make up any excuse, but deep down it was different. There were people there that I knew. There were people there that were welcoming. There were people there from every walk of life. I could wear my flip-flops.
Which today he wanted to wear his flip-flops.
Yes. Wade told me, no flip-flops today. So last night he texted us and said, good luck guys. And I said, I've got my last pair of flip-flops. His only response was, trim your toenails. So I didn't come back for a couple weeks. And Jessica would come home and just, it was awesome. And so there was this feeling of guilt building. But I think the moment that got me to come back and that kept me here was my son. It made a difference in how he was enjoying it. And when I would stay home, he would be like, can I stay home? And I was like, are you going to keep your child from God? No, not going to do it. So I came back. The next time I came to Wade was like, I think they had prepped Wade. Because it was like a laser beam, right, Jimmy? And start coming again. And then, how many have had the lunch with Wade? Anybody out there have had the lunch with Wade? The lunch that's supposed to be an hour lunch where we talk about a few things. It turned into about a three and a half hour lunch. And I'm sitting there the whole time, and he and I are connecting. I feel good about everything, but I'm like, I suckered me in again. Again, sucking into this church thing. I can do this by myself. So I left the lunch mat. I was like, come on, God. Why are you pulling me into this again? In the first almost 2 years I was here, I was still mad at God. And then Wade invited me to ARC last year. And I was like, and this, they call it a conference. So we get up to ARC. I'm expecting other conferences, church conferences I've been to. They're really divisive. You know, it's churches gloating about how great they are and people that are tearing each other down. And it was the most uplifting time of reflection because it was just me. You know, I didn't know all these people very well. Sherry was there. I knew Sherry probably the best of anyone there. As I was driving back from Birmingham by myself after ARC, I came to this crazy realization that me being mad at God for all the things that happened in my life and the churches in the past, it wasn't about God. It was about people. And we're imperfect. I'm imperfect. And I've been using the imperfections of humans as an excuse for my being imperfect myself and not doing the things I knew I needed to be doing in my life. And that continued. I mean, I look back now, I could have lost my wife, I could have lost my child, I could have lost a lot of things. But Emerge grounded me and gave me that foundation to move forward. Every day's not perfect, but we knew this foundation. The foundation I'm getting here is allowing me to take those steps and change in ways that I want to. And so it's kind of crazy that I'm sitting up here with the two of them because they were parts of my journey. And this one's been an encourager in my journey when life was tough, when job situations were bad. I literally lost a job at one point. And when I moved out of my office, I went there to visit, and she did. I'm into the emergency safety and security. She did a lockdown drill with all the kids. She's like, look what we're doing. We're doing what she said, how awesome this is. She always has this way of like lifting me up and making me feel good. So it's cool that I'm here with these two people, living life with them, having car karaoke rides with them, and things like that today. And so I think the next thing we're going to talk about, Shane, was along the lines of talking about if I cracked open your chest, what's in your heart? Tell us, you know, what's in your heart for Emerge and the change that Emerge has made, you know, in your life.
Yeah, so like I mentioned on my story coming to Emerge is, I had times in my life where I was in church, times when I wasn't in church and, you know, didn't know God at all. And I grew up in Wakulla County, and we have someone here from my hometown, Brenna, from South Choppy. And I grew up down there, and my mom is from Germany. So my dad met my mom in the military, and they came over to Florida and had me in St. Petersburg, Florida, and then immediately moved to Tallahassee. And we settled in McCulloch County. And shortly after that, I don't know if it was, you know, being new to the country or being in a place where they didn't have any family, but they got divorced shortly after I was born. And you know, growing up in a divorced home, I know some of you have done it, it's not easy as a kid, and especially when your parents are fighting and you feel like a pawn in that game, between child support or you know, wanting to spend more time at one than the other. And so just growing up in that environment, you know, it was tough. You know, you didn't really have anybody that loved you or felt that you loved you. I mean, they loved me, and I know that they did the best that they could. But just with so much going on, you know, I didn't feel it. And you know, we grew up in a trailer. I had plywood on the floors from the raccoons coming in and finding our food and eating. And so growing up in an environment like that, I didn't have a lot. And a lot of people at school growing up saw that I didn't have a lot. And I was made fun of, and I wasn't really, you know, felt a part of anything. I had friends, but I didn't feel like I had friends. And then I had a guy that I played sports with, and he invited me to church. And he said, "Hey, come spend the night with me, you know, on Saturday. And we're going to wake up Sunday, and we're going to go to church." And I was like, "Okay, all right, I've never been to church. I don't even know what church is." And I was around 10 years old at the time. My parents aren't Christians, so they had never introduced me to that. And so I started going to church with them, and I enjoyed it. And we were in a youth group, and so more and more I would try to get myself away from what was going on at home and what was going on at school. And I kind of just immersed myself in church, and that was my home away from home. And so I did that, and that got me through that period of my life. My mom then met a guy, and he's a absolutely wonderful person. But when you're an early teenager, you don't like your stepdad. And no matter how good they are, you are not gonna have a good relationship with them. I guess I didn't, at least. He wanted to teach me how to be a man and to teach me how to do things around the house. And I did that whole, "You're not my dad. I don't want you to tell me what to do." And so I moved away from my mom and his house, and I moved in with my dad. And it didn't take long to find out that there was a reason why my parents were divorced, and it was because my dad was abusive. He was mentally and physically abusive. And going back and realizing that shortly after moving in with him, I can go back and look at the times in my life where, you know, I thought me and my mom were playing hide and seek, and we were in the bathroom and the door was locked, and he would be banging on the door trying to come in and, you know, knock the door off the hinges. And like I said, it didn't take long to figure out that's the type of person that he was. But luckily, at that time when I needed God again, he was there. I was in a private school here in town, a Christian school, and I was able to get involved in school. And, you know, I had fallen away from God a little bit there, and then went back to the Christian school, and it brought me closer to God. And so I had that to lean on again. You know, when things were tough at home, and that was where I went, and he was there for me. Then I moved out, and they moved away, and I started my own life, and got married right out of high school. And we were both young, and you know, things didn't work out. Nothing really bad, just things didn't work out. And she wanted to take an internship away from town, and she wanted to move, and I didn't. And so I stayed here, and she moved away, and then I came home, and she said she wanted to leave and go away. And so we did, and you know, we got divorced. And throughout that, it was a tough period of time. I kind of dropped down to the lowest point that I've been. And luckily, I had some friends that I had surrounded myself with, and some Christian friends, and they were inviting me to come to church with them and saying, you know, you need to get involved in church. You need to come to church. You know, rely on God. Don't rely on yourself. And so that's what I did. And you know, that got me through that time in my life as well. So again, it's just another time that God was there. And after going to church and getting together with God again and having that relationship, I was able to meet my wife now, Amanda, and meet her family. And that has been, you know, arguably the greatest thing that's ever happened to me outside of Christianity and my relationship with God, is meeting her and meeting her family and just feeling that acceptance and feeling the family that I never had growing up. You know, welcomed me in, and we would go play golf, or we would play cornhole in the yard, and you know, not having any of that ever growing up to now having a family that accepted me as their own was just amazing. But things still weren't right, and I couldn't explain it. We were going through some tough times, and that was when Thomas and Jess invited us to Emerge. And I realized that I was searching that whole time, searching for things to make me happy. And God was always there when I needed him. And it didn't matter how far away I got from him. As soon as I turned to him and reached out my hand, he was there. And so that's just kind of what is on my heart this morning that I want to share with all of you guys, is it doesn't matter what you're going through, where you come from, if you need God, rely on him, rely on that relationship with him, because he's going to be there. And I can't tell you how much things have changed since starting to come to Emerge. Relationships have gotten better with my family. I'm actually going down to see my dad today, my real dad, who I, you know, hadn't had a relationship with in a long time. And you know, there's some fences being mended there. There's, you know, pretty much my, everything has kind of come together now that I've trusted in God completely. And I'm now able to share all of those things that I had lacked in my life growing up with everybody else, because I don't have a need for that anymore. God has fulfilled every single thing that I need. And being a brother in Christ to, you know, all of our e-groups and, kind of just what I wanted to share today.
Well, the thing I was going to tell you all about Shane that I remember as a kid, why I remember his name, is that when you have that many kids in a camp program, you always have those kids that are the outcasts, or that maybe don't fit in. Shane was the kid, and this is why I remember him. We would pull him in, and we would say, Shane, hey, this kid's really having a tough time. Will you befriend him? Because Shane was one of those kids that had this, other kids were attracted to him. Not because of any reason other than he was just Shane, he was just a good person. And we would always try to pair those kids up with him, because when they paired up with him, all the other kids, the universe opened to them. They became part because Shane likes him, Shane's playing with him. And it wasn't like it was a big deal, Shane just did it. It just came naturally to him, like, yeah, no problem. And you know, parents would be like, how did our kid, he's coming home now every day, he loves that place. And that's how I remember his name. And I think that's cool that now I get to know him as an adult with his wife and his child, and I get to see this amazing growth in him. And for me, knowing the place I was in a lot of the time when I was supposedly someone you looked up to, potentially.
You were.
But now I'm doing it right, you know. Now he gets to see me do it right, and I get to see him grow with his family and everything within this church, and that's amazing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think my favorite part of Shane's story is that he was broken, and God served him and met him there, and so he's paying it forward now, and now he's out finding the broken and serving them as Jesus, and I love that, because I think we can all relate to that at some point, that we, God met us somewhere where we were just completely falling apart, and then we got it together with him. He came in and was that God to us, and then now we get to pour that forward and see him do it in other people's lives, and I love that about your story.
And I think part of that, like, when you were telling the story, and I didn't even remember that growing up, you know, Jay told me that when I first started coming to church here, that's what he remembered about me. But I think that a lot of that's the reason why I did it is because back home, you know, people saw me as a poor person that came from, you know, a trailer, and I didn't have those friends. And so people that were different, those were the people that I wanted to help and reach out to. And, you know, it felt good to not have people know where you came from. And that's kind of like Emerge is, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from. You know, there's going to be people here that will reach out to you and you can build relationships with. And, you know, look at the sign. It says, we lead people to follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their lives. And that's exactly what Emerge is doing. And that's what it's done for me.
In terms of, you know, for myself, what's in my heart, I feel like I have another chance, a chance to do it right, to do it the right way. And as I have a child who's going to be 10 in a week, knowing that I'm going to have the opportunity to do it the right way, and learning more that just because I have God, it doesn't mean every day is going to be perfect. One of the things, as I've gone through my professional career and life in general, I always said, Jessica, when's it going to be easy? Come on, when's it going to be easy? You know, why does work have to be a struggle? Why does this have to be a struggle? She's like, it's never going to be easy. But if you have God, you're going to get through those things. He's taking you something for a reason to get you somewhere. One of the things I used to, growing up in church, and it used to drive me nuts, is people would say, I found my calling. And you would look at those people and think, the road was paved in gold, it was straight, it was perfect, there was a rainbow and a pot of gold at the end. And it's not the way it works. You know, when I lost, I quit a job that was really bad for me, and I knew what my calling was. Part of it was literally going to Aaron and saying, I'm going to start this business, I'm going to do this. And it was always about I. It was about I. And the thing I always forget in my life is everything in my life that has been successful has involved God in a we. It's not just been about me. It's been about the other people in my life and me helping other people. And understanding that that road that I thought was paved with gold has detours, it has bumps, and it has potholes. And it has points where you want to stop and go back. I'm still on that road. But now that I'm focused on God, and I'm not saying I'm going to do it on my own, because I walk in to my child's room and I see his mom reading the Bible with him. And I hear him asking all the questions. And he's not there yet. There's a little fear in that, because any of you who know Jacob has a lot of questions. And literally on this vacation, probably two or three times, we have these in-depth discussions because he wants to understand, why do I believe? And if I'm not displaying that for him, and I'm not surrounding him, because the reason I believed in God, the reason I was baptized, was because of people like you, the people that I was surrounded around in church every day. Those people influenced me. I was surrounded by people that loved God. And I thought my journey was over. I was baptized. God's got this. That I didn't have to do anything else. When I thought I had found my calling, I wasn't involving anybody else. Here's how I'm going to do it. I know the best way. I know the right way. And I didn't, because I wasn't involving God. I wasted so much time and I wasted so much energy because it was all about me. It was all about things that I couldn't control. I had to give them to God and let him do it. Let him control it. And I think that the opportunity now in my life to do it right and get to know more of you. And you know, that's one of the cool things about this church. And if you're not involved in the dream team and things like that, get involved, because you see the growth of people here. You see people that you just met 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago. I mean, I've heard stories about people go, I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to raise my hands. I'm one of those people that, yeah, I'm a little reluctant about raising my hands. You know, I raise my hands during singing and things like that. And then I'm standing in the back of the room with one of those people a few weeks ago. I look at him, he's singing. The man's singing. And this was the person who late said that he would never sing in one of these services. I don't sing. And you see the changes in people. And I think that's the beauty of the opportunity. What's in my heart is that I have an opportunity to get all these, to know all these people in different ways. Some of you come into my house and get the wonderful cooking that I'll probably need less of. From my wife, amen.
Desserts.
Amen. Desserts and things. If you haven't, you're welcome. She loves cooking. I do the dishes, by the way. But this place has become home. And I think it's one of the things that I always am able to come back to the center when I have, because you do have frustrations when you engage yourself. It's not always perfect. When you truly get involved, you're going to have those Sundays when you're down, but you have people around you that are going to lift you up and remind you why you're here. When I used to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, I told Jessica when I'm like, I'm not going to do kids anymore. I'm not going to do sun up. And literally that Sunday, Wade stood up here and started talking about doing the sun up. What if you brought a kid to God today? What if a kid gets to know God today? And it took me back to camp when we had 600, 700 kids. 400 to 500 of those kids did not have a church home. Yeah. And the thing we are always reminded was, we may be the only ones that God those kids ever get. And so that opportunity is, I have that opportunity again. And it's not about me. I think it's about the we and bringing more people. You know, I hope more of you are part of my life like these two people are. And having that opportunity, I think, is just amazing. So I'm going to turn it over to Erin to talk a little bit about what's in her heart and kind of bring this thing to a close. But thank you all for listening, and, you know, I look forward to getting to know more of you.
I wish you could see Jay about 9 years ago. Like, for those of you who were, I know you agree with me, miraculous. Like, not that he was off on a place, but the fact that God got his heart and the place that he was at and that brokenness is just, it's just God. There's nothing else. There's no one else that could have done that. So I love that. So I'm going to start mine with a story, shocking for those of you who know me. But so when I was thinking about my heart for the church, I instantly kind of went back into a bunch of different stories. But have you ever done that tree-to-tree, I don't know what it's called, repelling, it's not repelling, whatever that line thing is. I haven't. I'm not crazy about heights and falling off of things. But because of that zip line, thank you, some support. When I think about things like that, one of the things that always annoys me is when you're trying to get somewhere higher, the person that's usually above you says, what? Don't look down, right? So for those of you who know me know that I'm a child development nerd, and so it irritates me because I know that the brain does not process negatives, and that's not helpful. And so we should be telling people, look up. Look up at us. Don't, just right here, stay focused. And so that has always irritated me, but a few months ago, I was reading through Genesis, and I read Eve, and in this whole time I'm thinking, God should just always tell us to look up. You know, everybody should just look up at Jesus, look up at Jesus. And so as I was reading Eve's story and the serpent coming in, I instantly wanted to go, Eve, don't look down. Just don't look down. You won't even have an issue if you just don't look down. And I all of a sudden realized that I think it's both. I think it's that we do have to look up at God, but I think we also have to know what we're up against and be able to stand up against it. And so when I think about the heart for the church, I think about that idea of our authority and what that takes to really take on what we're up against and also be able to look at God. And so we're going to practice, and I'm going to get off this uncomfortable stool because Gary, Wade needs some comfier chairs up here. Okay, so we're going to practice this. So I want you to imagine you're late for work, and all of a sudden, someone cuts you off. You got it? Everybody's adrenaline rising right now? So raise of hands, who is saying not nice things about that person? Mm-hmm. I hear you right here. Don't lie. Jesus is watching. So who in here is just shocked and not saying anything and can't move? Okay, go feel have a lot of those. I do that too sometimes. Who's my one of my passive aggressive people in here who went, that's fine? that road was just yours. Take your road. Nobody else here driving. Any of those? Mm-hmm. I know, we're all in here. So the point of bringing that up is that when you are really irritated with someone and someone is driving you crazy, psychology says that what you say to them is very likely what you're saying to yourself. And so when you are the aggressive person and something goes wrong, you're saying, ugh, I'm such an idiot. How can I be so stupid? Any of those? My passive aggressive people, there you go again, making mistakes. They were right about you. Can't do anything right. My solid can't do anything people, you're the ones who just stand there. I can't move. I'm completely stuck in this mess and I have no idea what to do. Can we all relate to that? Probably a few voices in there. So what I want to do is take a step and look at what is the voice of someone who truly loves God sound like? And so we're going to talk about David for a second. So David, when he's going up to Goliath, goes through a couple of different things. The first thing he does is he goes into this crowd of people, and does anybody remember what they say? You've lost your mind. This is Aaron's version, not a bad version. But this is what they're saying. You've lost your mind. You're crazy. Do you see what's out there? It's Goliath, and you're David. Come on. And so David's first, what's up against him that he has to be able to see is the voice. You're not good enough. You can't handle that. And so he pushes past that. And the next step that he goes to is, if you're going to do this, if you're going to be crazy enough to do this, let me put on the armor. I'm going to put it on you. So Saul takes his armor, just decks David out. And you can imagine David kind of standing there in armor that doesn't fit, just trying to figure out what he needs to say. And David finally says, I can't do this either. So that's the next thing he's up against. Be somebody else. Be somebody else that you aren't, because that's what's better for you right now. If you're going to face what you're looking towards, you need to change who you are, because you aren't good enough. So David pushes past that. And then he goes into the next step. And I love, love, love how the Bible writes. Goliath says, if you beat me, I will be your slave. He says, kill me. Who cares? It's being dramatic. I will be your slave if you can conquer me. Have you ever read what David says? He walks in and he says, the Lord will conquer you. He will. Not if I beat you, you're going to love my Jesus. Which, you know, Jesus, he didn't know a lot about Jesus back then, but God. So he doesn't walk in trying to negotiate with what's in front of him. He knows what he's up against. And he knows where he's going. But he walks in with this confidence and this ability to have authority over what he's up against. And he says, I am not going to look at that, because I'm better than this, because God has given me his power. And I want you to think about that in relationship to the stories that you're in right now, whatever you're up against, because you're hearing it. You're hearing that voice. You're hearing this place coming to you saying, you can't handle that. Why did they choose you? Why did they choose you? You're not a good mom. Look at your kid. They're acting a fool, right? We have to do that because all our kids act a fool, but nobody says that. They do. But that's what we're up against, and we're walking through that, and David did the exact same thing, but he was looking so high up that Goliath was down. He knew God. He knew how he could hold him. He knew how he could give him strength. And I love, love, love what Ephesians 6:10 says. It says, use the strength of the Lord and his mighty power. Not your mighty power, his mighty power. Because some of you are up against some Goliaths. You're feeling pain. You're feeling grief. You're feeling sadness. You're feeling financial burdens. You're feeling all of these things. They are Goliaths in your life. And God says, use my power. My power. Why don't we do that? Like, I just don't understand that. I sit there all the time thinking, what are you doing, Aaron? I was doing that before I came up here. You're practicing my verse, and Tony's laughing at me going, do you hear what you're saying? Stop being anxious. Use God's power. It's true. And so when I truly think about my heart for the church, my heart is this, that you will see God all the time. You will be constantly looking up. You will hear him saying, I've got you. I will never, ever let you go. Never. There's nothing you can do that will make me love you more, and there's nothing you can do that will make me love you less, because you have all of me, all the time, every day. And I pray that when that voice comes up against you, because it will, and it's usually your own, and it's saying you're alone, there's nothing you can do. And I want to stop for a second, because I want to point out something. David was a shepherd. He got anointed and went back out to the sheep. David was a miracle. He was even anointed and in the field with Goliath. I'm the daughter of a drug dealer. It's a miracle that I'm standing on the stage, just like Shane and just like Jay. We are all miracles of our past going forward and looking to God. So you look up, you hear him, and when the voice comes in, I pray that you will hear it, you will know that it's there, and you will stand up and say, I will not look down. So close your eyes and bow your head. Somebody in here may have walked in feeling a lot of what Shane felt, a lot of what Jay felt, a lot of what I felt, and you walked in this room and you said, I can't do this, God. I don't even know if you love me, but if you do love me, I'm going to walk in this church and have somebody tell me that you do. If that's you, and you don't know this Jesus that we've been talking about, and you don't know what it feels like to stand in who he is and his mighty power, just lift up your hand. I see them. You can put them down. So pray this prayer out loud. We're going to do this as a church because we always do this because I think part of Eve's problem, we're always blaming Eve, but I think Eve didn't have her people. We're going to be each other's people. So pray this out loud together as a church. Jesus, I hear you. Forgive who I was. Forgive who I thought I wanted to be. I know now that I need you more than anything. Come and save me. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to love you. And when the voice comes up and tells me that I can't, to you.